Good morning. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning realizing that we need an awakening within our hearts. Lord, awaken our spirit, awaken our heart, awaken our consciousness of our need of you. Lord, we need you. We're weak, we're fragile, we're selfish. Lord, we need you this morning to enlighten us. And Lord, we need you this morning to give us a breakthrough. Amen. Lord, breakthrough in us. Yeah. Lord, use your word to do something in us, to change us. We don't want to just stay the same year after year, going on the same path, being in the same rut. Yeah. Lord, have mercy in us. Amen. Have grace to us. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, welcome here this morning. If this is your first time, we are going through the minor prophets in the Old Testament. Not a very common thing we maybe tend to do, but I believe the Lord is speaking to us, giving us a message or messages as we go through each of the prophets. Last week, Ian gave us a good introduction to the book of Micah. So we will be continuing and picking up some of the things that Ian mentioned, because Micah is a little bit different than some of the other minor prophets, in that Micah seems to have a strong component of judgment. So we don't like judgment. That's right, we don't like judgment, but it's there. And God is not only a God of love. Yes, God is a God of love, but God's love is not sloppy love. God also, there's a side of God that is a side of judgment. Remember Ian's thing last week? Yes. Balancing love and judgment. And Ian gave us a few verses last week in Acts chapter 17, verse 31, which says, "He has fixed a day on which he will judge the world." There's a day fixed by God where the world will be judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. That's Christ. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. So we don't normally think of Christ's resurrection being the proof that he's going to judge the world and his qualification. Christ's resurrection qualifies him to be the one to judge the world. That's Acts 17. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all," that's us, not forget about those outside this building. No, this is us. "We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." There is the matter of judgment. And so I think we can safely ask the question, why? Why do we need judgment? And of course, I think some of us this week are asking the question, do we experience judgment today in this age? There's another verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10, which I feel doesn't use the word judgment, but it's got somewhat the same idea. And that is Hebrews 12, 10. Do we have it? Yes. "My son, do not..." Sorry, 5 first. 5 and 6. "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves." Discipline is a kind of judgment, right? When we were children, our parents disciplined us. Maybe we did think that was judgment. I'm not sure. But it's a kind of what? It's judgment for the sake of adjusting. And the Bible makes clear, this is the Lord's way. The Lord disciplines who? His sons. He loves them. So in chapter... Okay, we're having a little few problems this morning. There we go. Okay, next verse in 10, in same chapter, verse 10 says, "God disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness." God doesn't discipline us because he loves to be a disciplinarian. No, God disciplines us to produce change. The purpose of discipline, the purpose of judgment is to effect a change in us. Not to leave us where we are, but to change. Here in Hebrews is what? That we may share his holiness. I find the writer is very interesting. He doesn't say that you can be holy. No, that we share his holiness. Isn't that pretty good? We share God's holiness. But it doesn't just happen easily. No, discipline needs to be there because naturally we're not this way. So this brings us back to Micah. Micah is a book concerning judgment. Why? Because Micah's been commissioned by God to speak to God's people because God wants his people to change. He doesn't want to leave them in their condition, in their situation, in their existing way of life. God wants them to change. Therefore, the prophet comes with a word of judgment to produce change. So this morning, we're going to be kind of hinging things on a verse in Micah that Ian brought us last week, Micah chapter 6, verse 8. What does the Lord require? Micah 6, 8 says, he has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Now let's just look at this verse for a little while. This verse says, notice the first four words. He has told you. This is not new information. This is not new revelation. He has told you, O man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you? This is basically repetition. And some Bible scholars say this verse, Micah 6:8, is a verse encapsulizing the whole Old Testament commandments into one verse. So, what are these three things? He says, do justice, to love kindness or show mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You know, we may have the thought, oh, wow, isn't this oversimplistic? It's not that profound. Isn't this kind of human? This is not spiritual. Well, you just try it. You do these three things. You try it and you'll find out this just isn't that easy. Not easy at all. We have a quote from Zondervan Bible. Can we put that up? In every age, God wants his people to respond to his love by doing justice, practicing loving kindness, and walking humbly with God. This is genuine humanness. To be a proper human being in God's eyes is to respond to God's love by doing these three things. God is not looking merely for correct theology. Yeah, we shouldn't believe heresy. But God is looking for more than correct theology. He's looking for a changed people. He's looking for a people that have lives that match him. That's why Hebrews says that we may what? Share in his holiness, having lives that match him. He is holy. What about us? In the Old Testament, God spoke some strong words to his people, attempting to bring them to change, to have a living that matches God, or we could say have a godly living. That's what a godly living is, a living that matches God. So let's look at these three things. What is do justice? What does it mean to do justice? Well, let's first of all look at some verses in Micah, what justice is not. And why would this kind of a word be brought out to them? Micah chapter 3, I'll just read a few verses here. Micah chapter 3, 1 to 3. And I said, "Hear you, heads of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice?" Now, here are some Bible verses that are pretty morbid. I hope you have a strong stomach. "You who hate the good and love the evil, who tear the skin from off my people and their flesh from off their bones, who eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them." I hope you know what that means. That means to skin. "And break their bones in pieces and chop them up like meat in a pot and flesh like flesh in a cauldron." Now that is about the most morbid thing, gross. That is what we used to, when we used to use the word, that's sick. Not today's sick. It's old-fashioned people sick. That is sick, really sick. No justice. Abusing God's people. This picture is basically what? Cannibalism. Right? So, no wonder God comes in. Where is the justice? In Micah, in this book, justice here is mainly referring to our relationship with other people. Why? Because in this book, there was no justice between, especially even between the leaders of Israel and Judah to their people. They were not practicing justice. So, and then verse 9 is another verse. "Hear this, you heads of the people, house of Israel, and rulers of the house of Israel, who detest justice and make crooked all that is straight." No justice among God's people. No justice for the leaders to their people. Actually, chapter 2 has got something similar. "Woe to those who," chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. "Woe to those who devise wickedness and work evil on their beds. When the morning dawns, they perform it." I mean, they're dreaming in bed about doing evil. And then they get up. Verse 2. "They covet fields and seize them, and houses, and take them away. They oppress a man and his house, a man and his inheritance." Now, what's so special about this? Okay. God, when he had brought Israel and his people into the land, he ordained that every family would have their inheritance, their plot of land. That's their inheritance. And that is their inheritance forever. Not like here, we buy a property, we sell a property, we buy a property, we sell a property. And no. That was their God-allotted inheritance. And what were some of the leaders of the people doing? They were stealing that God-allotted inheritance from the people. So not only were they not doing justice to the people, they were going against God's ordination of the distribution of the inheritance to all the people. And exploiting the disadvantaged, robbing the poor, taking away their God-given inheritance. I'd like to bring you to another verse because I think this helps us understand what is this justice. Because it seems Micah doesn't go into what is the justice you have to do. He just says, do justice. Jeremiah chapter 22. Jeremiah is a prophet who is later than Micah. But Jeremiah chapter 22 verse 3 gives us a kind of a detailed explanation of what it means to do justice. Thus says the Lord, do justice and righteousness, and deliver from the hand of the oppressor him who has been robbed. And do no wrong or violence to the resident alien, the fatherless, and the widow, nor shed innocent blood in this place. Do justice and righteousness, Jeremiah says. And then he goes to explain, this is what I want you to do. I want you to deliver from the hand of the oppressor him who has been robbed. Rescue the robbed one. And of course, going back to Micah, who's the robbed one? It's the people whose inheritance has been robbed from them. Do no wrong or violence to the resident alien. What's a resident alien? You know what that is? That's almost everybody in this room. Who was not born in Canada? Raise your hand. Hi. Okay, you are a resident alien. You're a foreigner who's now living here. Resident alien. Now, here's the problem. After we've lived here a while, we forget that we are or were a resident alien. Somebody arrives brand new, FOB, fresh off the boat. They're the new kid on the block. And we look at them, you're invading my space. How do we feel when, you know, I mean, if you're a recent FOB, then you have a certain feeling. But if you're like me, who's been here for six generations, what are all these resident aliens invading, taking over? My country, yes. You know, every country has their national pride, right? Every country has their national pride, whether it's Canadian, whether it's American, whether it's Taiwanese, whether it's China, whether it's Malaysia, whether it's... How many more have I missed? Huh? Singapore, Philippines, Hong Kong. Of course, now Hong Kong is part of China. I'm not sure if this Hong Kong-China thing, who's the resident alien? Depends on which side of the border you sit and park. Do justice to the resident alien. In other words, take care of those recent immigrants. I'll change a different word. You know, about a month or so ago, we had a sister here, Anne, I forget her last name, with this organization that she started, Matthew House. And you realize, here is a sister who really loves the Lord and really wants to share Christ with others and feels a commission to what? To take care of the resident alien, or in her case, specifically, refugees. Same thing. And you're... And you know, some of us have this thought, well, are they legitimate refugees? It doesn't say legitimate resident alien in Jeremiah. And you know why God says that? He says, remember, you were a resident alien when you came to this land. I brought you here. You were a resident alien. Don't forget. Take care of others. Why do you take care of the resident alien? Well, most of us in this room, not me included, most of you in this room know what it's like to arrive in a new country, not knowing anybody, not having any security, not knowing what you're going to do, not knowing what your future is, just full of hope and fear. Right? More fear than hope? Am I right? Yeah. Okay, speaking from the horse's mouth. No security. And that's why usually people who are recent immigrants are great gospel candidates. The feeling of fear, the feeling of insecurity, the feeling of just not knowing what's going to happen. Are we going to make it or not? So what does God say? Take care of them. Take care of the resident alien. Then, the fatherless. Those who have no father, whether it's, even one person said, whether it's by the, no father because the father died, or even the father abandoned them. There are people who have fathers, but the fathers abandoned them. Same thing with widows. Maybe widow's husband died. Maybe his widow is because the husband just disappeared. Justice for the innocent. Justice for what? The innocent. Nor shed innocent blood in this place. To have a heart for other people. To take care of other people other than yourself. You know what? You don't have to worry about yourself. You will take care of yourself well enough without even trying. What about others? What about others? The less fortunate. There's always somebody less fortunate than us. This is do justice. Take care of others. What about show to love kindness or to show mercy to others? Why should we show mercy to others? Because the very nature of God is merciful. God's nature is merciful. If we are to be godly, like God, we need to show mercy to others. Micah 7:18 says, Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity, passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. The last verse of Micah, you will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. Mercy, loving kindness is the nature of God. To show kindness to others. This is one of the charges God gave to his people. As those who represent God, who is merciful and loving, should we not also be merciful and loving? We do know how to be merciful to ourselves. That doesn't take any energy. But to be merciful to others, not so easy. Thirdly, walk humbly with our God. Walk humbly with your God. What is it to be humble? Humility is a hard thing. What are some signs in Micah of a lack of humility? Let's look at that first. In Micah chapter 2, verse 6, it says, do not prophesy. Their prophets say, do not prophesy about these things. Disgrace will not overtake us. In other words, what they're saying, what the people of Judah are saying is this: we are fine. We're just great. Nothing bad's going to happen to us. Hey, we're God's people. Why would God ever do anything like that to us? We're good. We're fine. We're okay. Let me ask you, are we really okay? You know, it's always easy to see what's wrong with other people. It's really hard to see what's wrong with me, with ourselves. You know, I do some marriage counseling and some premarital counseling, and there's this question that's really good to ask. And so here's the question. You ask yourself this question, okay? I hope you can get it, because it's not easy to grasp. You ask yourself this question. So Dell asks Dell this question. What is it like to be married to me? Let me try that again. I ask myself, Dell, what is it like to be married to me? Okay, let me put it another way because I can tell you don't understand. I'll put it in totally different words. What is it like for Karen to be married to me? What does she have to tolerate? What does she have to endure? What does she have to overlook? What does she have to contend with me? In other words, what's my problem? Do you understand the question now? And you know the funny thing is, that is one of the hardest questions to answer. Why? Because, well, aren't I God's gift to Karen? What's wrong with me? I'm great. That's why she married me, because I'm so great. Only find out after you're married, somehow the great disappeared. It's hard to be self-examining. We always justify ourselves. I'm fine. I'm just fine. Nothing. No disgrace will overtake us. Okay, so we don't want to be corrected. How difficult, even in the marriage law, how difficult it is for a spouse to correct the other person in a relationship. What's more difficult is to receive that correction. Why? Because we're not humble. We think we're great. Another expression of lack of humility in Micah, chapter 2, verse 11. If a liar and deceiver comes and says, I will prophesy for you plenty of wine and beer, that would be just the profit for this people. In other words, what is this? What is this? This is saying is, I just want to speak all the nice things to you, the positive things to you. Oh, you're great. I'm just going to give you lots of nice things to make you drunk. On what? Happiness. And what the prophet is saying, you know what? You want that? That's what you deserve. Not able to take a word of correction, but just liking comfortable. So, if you came here to be comforted this morning, sorry. Okay, here's another one. Chapter 3, verse 11. I like this one even more. Chapter 3, verse 11. Her leaders judge for a bribe. Her priests teach for a price. Her prophets tell fortunes for money. I think for self-gain. Yet they look for the Lord's support and say, is not the Lord among us? No disaster will come upon us. What is this thought? This thought is, we're special. We are special. Others are not special. We are special. Because we're special, there's nothing wrong with us. No disaster will come upon us. Or, I'll use another word. We have the Lord's blessing. Now, just think about that for a minute. You make the declaration, or we make the declaration, we have the Lord's blessing. You tell me, how do you know? How can you be so sure we have the Lord's blessing? Is that wishful thinking? Is that self-delusion? Who are you to say we have the Lord's blessing? Who am I to say I have the Lord's blessing? That's not humility. We need to learn how to examine ourselves and realize, you know what? I need to be right with God. Forget about others. Forget about criticizing their problems. What about me? What about me? You know, that question I asked about marriage, what's it like to live with me? The whole point of that question is for you to realize, you know what? Stop saying that your spouse is the one with all the problems. What about yourself? Same thing with among us in the church. Let's stop talking about other Christians, other places. That they're responsible to the Lord themselves. What about us here? Let's take care of ourselves, not, and I don't mean that we should be self-centered. What I mean is we should be self-examining. Where am I short? Not to be condemned, but to be enlightened by God. Okay, I'm running out of time. I got to get to my, I don't want to leave you lying there. Thank you. In this book, there's something really precious, and it was picked up in a song this morning in chapter 2, verse 13. This is a precious verse. Chapter 2, verse 13 says, he who opens the breach goes up before them. They break through and pass the gate, going out by it. Their king passes on before them, the Lord at their head. Basically, this verse, all scholars believe, is every person here, the he, the king, the Lord, is all the Messiah who's coming to what? To lead us out of our situation, to give us a breakthrough out of where we have been. Let me tell you this, put it succinctly. To do justice, to show loving kindness, to walk humbly with your God. You know what? On our own, we can't do it. We need a king. We need a Lord. We need a king. We need the one to open a way. There's a little gap there. We need the person to come in and break through. Lead us out. This is the grace in this book of Micah. Yes, you got lots of problems. Yes, you're wrong. Yes, you need to do this. Yes, you need to do that. But you need also a king to lead you there to do it, to accomplish it with you and for you. We get stuck. We get stuck by our past. We get stuck by our history. We get stuck even by our experiences, past experiences that were great, that were wonderful, but we get stuck. We need to keep breaking through. We need to keep breaking through. We get stuck by our weaknesses. We get stuck by our habits. Individually, we need a breakthrough. As a church, we need a breakthrough. Constantly breaking through. All the time breaking through. I like this picture. Just not sure where the king is. But anyway, the king. Yeah. I'll just give you two more translations. The Message says this, then I, God, will burst all confinements and lead them out into the open. They'll follow their king. I will be out in front leading them. The Lord wants to lead us through, breaking through whatever restricts us, whatever holds us back, whether it's our weakness, whether it's our habit, whether it's our failure, whether it's our past, whether what's good, what's whatever. NIV has another translation. The one who breaks open the way will go up before them. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? They will break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head. You see the picture here? You see the, it's like the king just breaking open and all the rest of us following him. Right. Having a breakthrough. Don't you want a breakthrough or you want to stay back there? Let's have a breakthrough. Let's let the Lord do some breaking through and let's follow him in this breakthrough. Amen. Follow the Lord in this breakthrough wherever the Lord should lead us. Realizing we need change. Don't be afraid of change. Be afraid of staying the same. Be afraid of having nothing happen in your life. The Lord is leading. All we need to do is follow. That's why we titled this message today, Follow the King for a Breakthrough. Follow the King for a Breakthrough. He will lead us. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we realize we really need a breakthrough. Lord, help us to be to realize what we need, but especially, Lord, grant us a heart to follow you as you lead us on, breaking out of our bounds, breaking out of what we're so used to. Lord, you're a God of justice. Lord, you're a God of mercy. We want to follow you that we would do the same. We would do justice. We would show mercy. And especially, we would walk humbly with our God. Lord, lead us on. Lead us on individually. Lead us on as the church. Amen. May the Lord lead you in the breakthrough that we all need this week. We're dismissed.